So Mary and Martha, what do we do with these two? First of all, and by the way, we studied this in Bible study a couple of weeks ago. We're studying the women of the Bible, and this was a great, we thought we'd look at Mary and Martha. We looked at a lot of different Marys this last week. There are quite a few, and this one shows up too. And if you Google Mary, these other Marys actually show up a lot more than the mother of Jesus. sometimes I get into that conversation, theological debate with my Catholic brothers and sisters who think Mary is really important. She is important. But these other Marys are really, they represent who we are. One of the things that I find helpful in studying scripture like this is to look in context. And so sometimes literally just, what was the sentence right before this and what's the sentence right after this? Anybody know what the sentence right before this was? We actually read it last week. I don't always preach in sequence like that, but last week we were with, anybody remember? The parable of? The Good Samaritan, good. You guys have a one-week memory, that's outstanding. That's better than me. Sometimes on Monday I can't remember what we preached on Sunday. The Good Samaritan, you know what the last line of the parable of the Good Samaritan was? Go and do likewise, okay? Those are Jesus' words. That's right out of Jesus' mouth. Go and do, right? We're to be people who do. So then you get this story of Mary and Martha, and there's all this doing going on. He's like, cool it, man. Sit and chill. I'm here with Mary. She's chosen the better part. So that's a head scratcher. I go, that's an interesting place. And then what's the story right after it? Jesus was praying in a certain place. Go and do, Mary and Martha. Jesus is praying in a certain place. His disciples come and find him and they say, Lord, teach us to pray. So I find that very interesting. And the flow of the gospel, as the gospel is told and it's sort of shared with us, we have go and do. We have this picture, this scene. It's a home-making scene. Mary and Martha at their home receiving Jesus. There's lots of hospitality going on. Mary sits and is attentive to the words of Jesus. Mary is busy with many things. And Jesus, and she comes and she kind of shakes Jesus for a minute. Don't you care? Right? Don't you care that Mary has left me to do all the work? And Jesus says, what does Jesus say? Martha, Martha. It reminds me of the Brady Bunch. Marcia, Marcia, Marcia. Jesus. Martha, Martha. You are distracted. That's the conviction, I think. You are distracted with many things. Mary has chosen one thing, and it will not be taken from her. And he says, she has chosen the better part. That's the rub for me, because Jesus has to go and get a little judgy, right? Why does he have to elevate one over the other? Why is Mary's part better than Martha's part? Is it a disservice to those who are in service? Does it minimize our worthiness? The Marthas who prepare the sanctuary so the rest of us can come and sit and be Mary for an hour every Sunday. Well, here's part of what that... Looking at it in context makes me realize, you know, you can't just take this out, but there's a bigger picture here. And I think the bigger picture is go and do and pray. And somehow find it in your life to embody both. It's not either or. It's both and. There's a wonderful image for this that I want to share with you. And I was checking with Cheryl on this because she's still a docent at the Art Center. I was for many years. And I used to lead for over 5 years, I think, at least once a week, I would lead a group of fourth graders through a tour of the Des Moines Art Center. And we would stop at different works, and we'd talk about them, and the kids would interact with it. And one of my favorite pieces to stop in front of is a sculpture. It's about as big as I am. It's a sculpture of two men. It's one guy, I think he has shoes on, the guy that's standing has shoes on. And he's holding another guy on his back. The name of the piece is called Piggyback by an artist, a Spanish artist named Juan Muñoz. And he's holding a guy on his back who's also in a suit. This guy's in a suit. The guy on his back is in a suit. But the guy on his back doesn't have any shoes on. And so we stand around this piece, and I ask the kids different questions to get them engaged in it. You know, what do you notice about it? Maybe, which one are you? You know, are you the one who needs a ride, or are you the one giving a ride? But then I really want them to focus in. Look at this guy's face. Look at both of their faces. What do you see? And it's really interesting, if you look closely at this, and other people have sort of mused about this, it's in the Art Center's big book collection, and some of these thoughts are in there. They look really similar. And some of the kids will say, maybe they're brothers. Yeah, maybe they're twins. I mean, they look exactly alike. And then I like to ask this question. What if they're the same person? You know, it's art, right? It's not literal. What if they're just two parts of the same person? So really, it's a fun question, and you kind of see these fourth graders, like, mind blown. What? There can be two parts of one person? Yeah, think about it. What if Mary and Martha, just what if here, what if they're the same person? Okay? Take for a moment that this is scripture. This is storytelling at its best. This is not a newspaper recording of events of that day. It's not the, you know, it's like the report. Some of the old small town newspapers, don't they say, you know, so-and-so had people at for lunch, you know. Martha had Jesus for lunch. Mary, by the way, did very little to help, you know. little editorial comment. This is not a newspaper recording. It's not the social gossip of the day. This is a story. And one of the things that stories do is they capture our imagination. So let me expand your imagination. What if Mary and Martha are like the guys in Piggyback? What if they're just images of who we are? Right? Because the story before is go and do likewise, and the story after is teach us how to pray. What if it's just the two parts of us? You know, there's a doing part of me, and there's a being part of me. Right? Is that true for you too? Is there part of you that just, you got to get things done? And sometimes the being part of me likes to sit in prayer, or reflect with a scripture or a poem. I just want to be in some silence for a while. And guess who shows up? Martha shows up. The doing part of me shows up. You know, Paul, you really don't have time for this. You should be raking those leaves in the backyard. Maybe you should go buy some new paint and repaint the office that you just painted yesterday. Whole other story. Some people in Sunday school heard. Maybe you should, you know, man, there's just... The list is endless. No matter how caught up you are, the doing part of you, there's always more to do, right? Right? Yeah. It doesn't often happen that when I'm doing, the Mary part of me shows up. Does that happen to you? I'm just trying to think about this for a moment. Does it happen when I'm really busy doing things? Does the Martha part of me ever sort of nag about, you know, Paul, you should slow down. You're not going to get all of this stuff done, so why don't you just pick two things not to do today and take time to just sit and be? Maybe that voice does. It's not as loud. That voice is not, I don't think our culture honors that voice as much as it honors the doing one, right? You have to be a doer, you know. When Danny goes for a job interview this week, he can't list all the things he is by just being. Well, I was sitting for 2 hours yesterday in silence. Oh, really? Okay. Interesting. But what have you done? What have you done with your life? You know, it's got to show up on the resume. You're doing your deeds, the stuff you do. So our culture really values one over the other. So we're used to giving unequal treatment, right? Maybe what we're not used to in this story is having Jesus give unequal treatment. But maybe all Jesus is trying to do is counterbalance the dominant message that we already have, right? So maybe it's not that Jesus is judgy, as I said earlier. Why does he have to elevate one? Maybe the reason he does that is that in this case, in this story, what he really wants us to do is to really affirm the inner voice of the Mary within you. The one who knows she has communed and is communing with God. The knows that she is intimately connected to God and to all others. I saw it yesterday in a a Richard Rohr quote. And it just happens, I mean, it just, this is exactly what I'm talking about. Your absolute foundation is communion with God and others. Your absolute foundation is your communion with God and others. This is the deepest me, that's in quotes, the deepest me to which you must return before you act. This is the deepest me, the deepest you, I think he means, to which you must return before you act. Now that's a good point, because sometimes when I'm busy doing, if I'm not really grounded in the deepest me, my doing is, at the least, it's ineffective. It takes me twice as long to do a thing if I haven't thought it through and doing it well, right, and with some intentionality. I might actually do more harm than good. You know, this happens in church a lot. We sit around, we hear a story of our friends in Texas who are flooded. Oh, let's do something to help them. And so we just act quickly. We were in Cedar Rapids. You remember after the flood in Cedar Rapids? Do you remember this? This is a horrible example of exactly what I'm talking about. There was a truckload of stuff sent to Cedar Rapids. Somebody acted quickly. They did not act from their foundational, true, deepest self. I don't think they did. I don't think they would have done this. So we were there to help with some flood recovery. So we unloaded this truck full of all this stuff. Somebody in Indiana somewhere, oh, those people in Iowa, they need our help. So they sent us bags and bags and boxes of stuff. What do you need, right, when you're in flood recovery? You need a box of old National Geographic magazines. That's exactly what you need. Remember, there were boxes of National Geographic magazines. There were shoes in there. Shoes, that's a good idea. But these shoes, I think we took them right to the dumpster, right? They were hideous. But somebody in Iowa probably needs these shoes. I would never wear these, but I'm not walking through floodwater. Maybe they call this the tragedy after the tragedy. The catastrophe after the catastrophe is the busload and the truckloads and the trailer loads of stuff that comes to our aid. Because people, they want to do. But I really believe if they acted from their deepest self, they wouldn't do that. I think they would do something else. Right? So I'm back to the story with Mary and Martha, and I'm really intrigued by Jesus' address to Martha, that he says her name twice. Martha, Martha. Is it once to get her attention and once to speak to her soul? Is it an indication that Martha in the moment is split? She has a split person right now. There's too many. She's distracted about many things. Mary, on the other hand, only needs one name because she's centered. But if I go back to my original question, that Mary and Martha are really two different people, or are the same person, just two different parts. When one of us is greatly distracted, it affects all of us. Right? Service is good. I don't think Jesus is saying that we don't need Martha in the church. That board back there, these guys that just gave their report, we need all of that. And Jesus wouldn't have ended the parable of the Good Samaritan with go and do likewise if he didn't want us to do. But I think he wants us to do, to act from a place of integrity and intentionality and maybe communion with God. Your deepest foundation is communion with God and with others to be, again, another image. You guys remember the movie City Slickers? The crusty old cowboy who his message was one. That's all you need is one thing. Find your one thing, right? That's all we need. And that's why Mary is the image that brings it all together. It's Mary and Martha. It's not either or. It's both. We are to go and do. We are to learn how to pray. And when we do it all from a place that finds our deepest center, that to me is what the journey up is all about. It communion with God and being grounded in all that we do.